Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the workshop, you will hear from our panel of expert speakers. We will allow time for questions and comments following the presentation. Instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the workshop, please press star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, this workshop is being recorded. I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Senior Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Audra, and I too would like to welcome everyone to today's Cancer Care Connect Education Workshop update on CAR T cell therapies. It's a very important program, and we're very excited to be offering this program today with wonderful speakers. Today's program is supported by Bristol Myers Squibb, Kite Pharma Inc., a subsidiary of Gilead Sciences, Inc., and an educational grant from Janssen Biotech, Inc., administered by Janssen Scientific Affairs, LLC. I really want to thank them for their support of today's program. Now, before we begin, I'd like to just let you all know about the fact that there are over 200 participants on the program today. And you come from all of the United States, from both urban, rural, suburban, and frontier communities. Now, we also have a number of international participants, and I'm going to just read off the countries: Canada, Egypt, India, Iran, Kuwait, Oman, Pakistan, the Philippines, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom. So it's truly a global call. And it's a credit to each of you that you've chosen to spend this next hour with us. And now, I'm going to our first speaker, and our first speaker is Dr. Cohen von Biesen. And Dr. von Biesen is Director, Wesley Center for Immunotherapy, Division Chief, Hematology and Cellular Therapy, Division Chief, Hematology and Oncology, UH Cleveland Medical Center. And Dr. von Biesen will be addressing overview of CAR T cell therapies, understanding CAR's chimeric antigen receptors, when to consider CAR T cell therapies as a treatment of choice, clinical trials for CAR T cell therapies, and discussion of CAR T cell therapies and the benefits of CAR T cell therapy. It's my pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. von Biesen.
Thank you, Dr. Messner. It's a pleasure to be here. I hope you can hear me. And thank you for all the audience to listen in. So I assume many of you are patients or healthcare workers, and it's my task to give you a quick overview of what are CAR T cells and where are they used and what is the future. CAR T cells have revolutionized a lot of the treatment, particularly in patients with B-cell malignancies. B-cell malignancies meaning certain types of lymphoma, most myeloma patients, and certain types of leukemia. And CAR T cells are an extremely effective form of cellular therapy, meaning we use our own cells, the cells of our own body, the cells of the immune system, to treat cancers. And somewhat paradoxically, they are most effective in cancers of the immune system. When we think about cancer treatment, we think about surgery, we think about radiation, and we think about chemotherapy. Those are the three mainstays of treatment for a variety of cancers. But there's a fourth component, namely our own immune system. Our own immune system is very important to keep cancer from spreading. And it's already, in many cases, used in combination with certain drugs to eradicate cancers. There's drugs such as monoclonal antibodies or checkpoint inhibitors that you may have heard about, such as nivolumab or pembrolizumab, that are used to stimulate our own immune system when it's somewhat deficient, and then lead to control of certain cancers. Nivolumab is used in certain cancers of the lung and even in Hodgkin's disease or in melanoma. Now, CAR T cells use our own T cells. T cells are the most important effector lymphocytes of our immune system. They circulate in the bloodstream. They're also in our lymph nodes. They are there to destroy invading organisms with great specificity. And what scientists have done is use the mechanism, the great efficacy of our own T cells, and redirect them. They put a new receptor, a new recognition site into these T cells. That's why they're called chimeric receptors. They put a chimeric receptor in the T cells, and then we talk about CAR T cells. They grow them in the lab, and then they reinfuse them into the patients. So, and this new receptor is recognizing B cell lymphomas. The typical one is a receptor for CD19, which is a surface marker on the cell membrane of most B cells. So we re-educate our T cells and reprogram them to recognize B cells. And therefore, after we collect the cells from the patient, have modified them in the lab, grown them up, after giving a mild chemotherapy, reinfused those cells, they start recognizing the lymphoma or the myeloma, the B-cell malignancies. The T-cells expand, they react to them because that's their function. When they recognize something that needs to be destroyed, they grow up, they multiply, they destroy the cancer and eliminate it. The technology of this has been worked on for about 20 or 30 years, but it really became common practice around 2019 or so, right before COVID. CAR T cells, the first CAR T cell products got approved. So again, in practical terms, a patient with lymphoma or myeloma comes to us and is in need for CAR T cell treatment. We will subject that patient to what is called an apheresis. We will remove some of the blood, spin it through a centrifuge, collect the T-cells, and return the rest of the blood to the patient. It's an outpatient safe procedure. Then we, either in our own lab or in a pharmaceutical company, these cells get reprogrammed and the chimeric receptor gets introduced. Cells are grown. About 2 to 3 weeks later, the patient comes back, gets typically 3 days of mild chemotherapy, and then we give an infusion. It's like a transfusion of these CAR T cells. If all goes well, the CAR T cells will then eradicate the lymphoma or the myeloma quite completely. This treatment, when it first arrived, was spectacular because it was so spectacular that a number of patients with lymphoma or leukemia or myeloma who had failed every imaginable chemotherapy were responding with complete and sometimes durable responses to treatment with CAR T cells. So this treatment can be effective when nothing else is effective. Which diseases is it used for? It's used in 3 or 4 types of diseases. All diseases of the B-cell immune system. It's used in a variety of types of B-cell lymphoma, namely diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, follicular lymphoma, mantle cell lymphoma. In these disorders, it can be effective and curative in patients who have failed all other treatments. It's used in myeloma, a disease that's also a B-cell disorder, a disease that results from plasma cells that grow and can cause bone damage, kidney damage, marrow failure. Again, where nothing else works, CAR T cells can induce very prolonged remissions, maybe curative in a small percentage, but for sure inducing very durable remissions. They're also effective in a disorder called chronic lymphocytic leukemia, where the CAR T cells cure 20 to 30% of the patients, and in acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is often known of as childhood leukemia, but that's also quite common in adults. And in ALL, it induces very nice remissions, but in general, patients still need a bone marrow transplant afterwards to be permanently cured of their disease. So CAR T cells are now FDA approved for all these indications that I just mentioned. The cost is considerable, and my colleague will talk a little bit about the side effects and the way in which what the patients have to undergo, the logistics of this. But suffice it to say that from the days they become first available until now, we are using CAR T cells increasingly and more early in the disease course. When this first started, 2019, 2020, CAR T cells were used in patients who had failed 3 or 4 prior lines of chemotherapy. So they were last-ditch efforts. They are so efficient that now in large B-cell lymphoma, it's the second line of treatment. In multiple myeloma, it's also the second line of treatment. Rarely is it used as first line of treatment, but that's probably just an issue of time. So in the years that I've been in this field, CAR T cells are one of the most spectacular new developments and have helped an enormous number of patients. So cancer medicine has changed dramatically. It didn't exist until about 50 years ago, or at least the chemotherapy barely existed. And increasingly, we make progress thanks to trials and thanks to our patients participating in trials and thanks to scientists who do the work of inventing these new treatments. But this is one of the more spectacular advances. But lots of work remains to be done, and lots of work is being done. And where is that work? Well, CAR T cells have considerable side effects, and my colleague will talk about that. CAR T cells also are not always effective. In large B-cell lymphoma, probably the most spectacular benefit, where about 50% of patients who fail other treatments are cured, still another 50% relapse. In multiple myeloma, where the majority of patients improve, but over time most of them relapse again, can take 2, 3, 4 years, so these patients benefit in a major fashion, but still the majority of them don't have permanent benefit. In acute leukemia, B-cell leukemia, where we still need a bone marrow transplant to cure the patients after the CAR T cells bring them in remission, the bone marrow transplant is something that we all wish we could avoid for our patients, because it's a strenuous and sometimes debilitating treatment. Investigators are working on a number of issues here. They are working on new products that hopefully will be more effective, new products that hopefully will have fewer side effects. They are working on making these products also more effective and more affordable. Right now, the costs are enormous, and fortunately, insurance companies pay for it. But when a patient needs it a second time, that's when we often get into trouble, because the insurance companies usually allow only one treatment with CAR T cells. So we are trying to make this more affordable, invent cheaper methods of producing them. Number of centers are working on, or investigators are working on, off-the-shelf CAR T cells, meaning instead of collecting cells from the patient, waiting 3 weeks, we would have a universal product, something that could be used as a medication and that we could just take off a pharmacy shelf. We are not there yet, but a lot of centers and investigators are working on this. Lastly, a lot of people are working on other indications. So if this works in B-cell lymphoma, why does it not work in myeloid leukemia? Why does it not work in breast cancer? Why does it not work in other forms of cancer? Actually, it's probably a matter of time. Issues are of finding the right recognition sites, making sure the cells go where they are needed to go, and overcoming a number of inherent hurdles and complexities of solid tumors. I have no doubt that within the next 5 to 10 years, we will see further advances and further use of these procedures in other indications. Also of note, the people here on the call have probably interested in lymphoma and in cancer. But one recent area of advance is in autoimmune diseases, and lupus, systemic lupus, which is a very serious disease with skin lesions, with renal failure, with sometimes neurologic features, can be suppressed and hopefully even be cured with CAR T-cell therapy. It's early days, but in the last 2 years, more and more data are coming out that some of the sickest lupus patients are getting complete and very prolonged responses with CAR T-cells. So that's pretty much what I had to tell you. And just to summarize, CAR T-cells have revolutionized what we do. They work in B-cell lymphomas, B-cell leukemias, and myeloma when other treatments don't work and offer a realistic treatment, a curative treatment. In some patients, we have other advances in these disorders. We have bi-therapies. We have other extremely interesting advances. One thing that sets the CAR T-cells apart very often is they're a one-time deal. We treat patients once, and there's no repeat treatment. If it works, patients can be cured with one infusion of cells, from which it takes a couple of weeks to recover in general, and they may never need treatment again, as opposed to many other modern treatments for these disorders that sometimes require years and years of maintenance treatment. With that, thank you for listening to me, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Beeson. That was really a superb presentation, really stellar. And really, as the first speaker, you set the tone for today's program. A lot of hopeful messages from you, and also very realistic information from you in terms of how effective CAR T cell therapies are for particular types of cancer. So thank you. And I know there'll be questions to you during the Q&A. And our next speaker is Dr. Caitlin Gribben. And Dr. Gribben is instructor in medicine, bone marrow transplant, and cellular therapy program, Weill Cornell Medicine, Division of Hematology and Medical Oncology. And Dr. Gribben will be addressing specific examples of how CAR T cell therapies contribute to oncology care, key questions to ask your healthcare team about CAR T cell therapies, managing potential treatment side effects, guidelines to prepare for telehealth telemedicine appointments, including technology, prepared list of questions, and discussion of open notes, and follow-up care, and what to expect. It's great, my great pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Gribben.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for having me. So my name is Katie Gribben. I'm a doctor in the bone marrow transplant and cellular therapy group at Weill Cornell, and I'm happy to be here today to talk about CAR T-cell therapy. So as Dr. Van Biesen explained, our body's natural defense against cancer cells is our own immune system. And our immune cells, which include B cells and T cells, among other cells, recognize cancer cells within our body and work under normal circumstances to eliminate them through an evolved immune response. Cancer cells, though, have evolved in ways to evade our immune system and to effectively survive, even in the presence of a normal immune system that we might have. So immunotherapy or cellular therapy, which includes CAR T cell therapy, kind of broadly refers to the practice of better engaging our own immune system to effectively fight against cancer cells. So in order to avoid destruction of our healthy tissues by our immune system, cells within our body kind of talk to one another, telling each other not to attack and to effectively put the brakes on immune activity by T cells. So CAR T cell therapy is a way of increasing our T cell immune responses against cancer cells. And rather than engaging T cells, which are already in the body, through something that may include immunotherapy, if you may have heard of PD-L1 inhibition or PD-1 inhibition, CAR T cell therapy is different because we remove the T cells, we genetically alter these T cells to recognize and attack cancer cells, and then reinfuse them back and kind of let them get to work, working against cancer cells in the body. So someone who is receiving CAR T cell therapy is essentially receiving back his or her own T cells that have this new ability to powerfully target cancer cells. And we often refer to these as a living drug because these are someone's own cells, and they'll persist in the body for months and months to come, kind of continuing to work against the cancer cells as time goes on. So CAR T cells are manufactured and given as a single infusion. And as Dr. Van Biesen said, at this point, this therapy is mainly used to treat hematologic malignancies, such as B-cell lymphoma and ALL. But kind of thinking about ways that this therapy is advancing, we're starting to look at the use of CAR T in solid tumors as well. And so although the FDA approvals are not in place yet, there are trials ongoing, specifically looking at the use of CAR T in glioblastoma and in other types of solid cancers that we are hopeful will kind of continue to show that they may be amenable to CAR T as well. So at this point, like I said, it's mostly used in B-cell lymphomas and in ALL, and the use of CAR T has really dramatically changed the way that we kind of approach the field of lymphoma, specifically in ALL, which has relapsed. So although we don't use CAR T as a first line of treatment right now, and this will likely change in the future given all the clinical trials that are ongoing looking at this, with the use of CAR T, we're really able to try a completely different approach when someone has received chemotherapy or targeted therapy and it hasn't been effective. So in the past, we would just try different types of chemotherapy regimens, and oftentimes these were not effective and had a lot of kind of similar toxicities and side effects to one another. But now with CAR T-cell therapy, we're able to oftentimes try a chemotherapy approach first, and if it's ineffective, kind of completely change course and use something that's very different in terms of its mechanism, side effects, an approach, and this is actually really effective for a large number of patients who didn't have a good response up front to chemotherapy. So sometimes the lymphoma or whatever we're treating behaves very differently with one type of treatment versus another, and CAR T kind of lets us take advantage of those differences and try a very different immune-based approach. So side effects associated with CAR T cell therapy are kind of think about them as the shorter-term and longer-term toxicities. The shorter-term side effects are generally related to large amounts of inflammation in the body. Because we're engaging the immune system and kind of putting T cells to work against cancer cells, some of those early toxicities are kind of what you might expect with an infection. So, you might see fever, low blood pressure, confusion in some people. And so because of this, and also because of the fact that these inflammation-related side effects are somewhat unpredictable, it's important to have very close monitoring for everyone who gets CAR T in the weeks immediately following. So usually this means staying in the hospital. There are many centers that are starting to do this outpatient, where someone will kind of come in for frequent follow-up right after the CAR Ts are infused. Some of the longer side effects include low blood counts. This can start kind of around the time of the CAR T infusion and then persist over the next several weeks to months, and the recovery of the blood counts is a little bit variable from person to person. And then the other main toxicity that we think about that's related to low blood counts and also related to the B cells completely going away with the CAR T is immunosuppression. So the CAR T cells, unfortunately, also will get rid of B cells when we're using them against lymphoma, not just the lymphoma cells. And so people will become at risk of infection to a greater degree than they would be otherwise without the CAR T. So those are kind of the three main things that we watch out for, and we take a lot of precautions to prevent undue inflammation. We treat inflammation right afterwards with some immunosuppressing medicines, including, or anti-inflammatories rather, including steroids. And then we monitor very closely for infection. And over the course of the next kind of months to years after CAR T, we actually re-implement a vaccine schedule for most patients so that you will kind of catch up on some of the immunity that may have been lost after CAR T. And then lastly, we keep a close eye on the blood counts and give growth factors to help the bone marrow make more blood cells if necessary. Sometimes transfusions are necessary, and as much as we can, kind of try to get ahead of any side effects and prevent them with medicines if if necessary, and also with frequent follow-up. So in order, in terms of kind of thinking about what to ask, sort of how to prepare for a potential conversation about CAR-T, I think that what may be most important is just to have the doctor who you're seeing just very thoroughly explain what CAR-T cell therapy is and why you specifically may or may not be a great candidate for it. So really kind of thinking about how all of this applies to you, and having that open conversation, I think, is really important. I think another thing to ask about is hospital protocols for both infusing the CAR-T, what kind of medicines you're given before, whether the monitoring is done at home or in the hospital, and what kind of follow-up can be expected afterwards is important because it's a very time-intensive process, and I think that kind of understanding what you might expect in those weeks afterwards and then months afterwards will kind of help prepare you to kind of think about how this may fit into the rest of your life and what it may look like. And it's also important to understand that even though the follow-up is very frequent at first, it does space out, and our goal is always to help people go back to living their normal lives, and that's why we do all of this, is to help people, you know, live the lives that they want to live. But really getting a sense of that schedule and how we can tell that it's effective or not and what side effects may be expected, I think is really important. And then lastly, I think it's always a good idea to ask about any potential clinical trials that you may be eligible for, either with or without CAR-T, just to also understand the options for non-FDA-approved therapies. In terms of what to expect afterwards, we kind of talked about this, but very close monitoring for efficacy, ongoing side effects, and then close monitoring of how the immune system is reconstituting itself is all kind of part of the post-CAR-T follow-up. So moving forward, I think a major goal of cancer therapy research is to improve the efficacy of immunotherapies, cell therapies, including CAR-T, in cancers that have been less sensitive to these therapies historically. And so there are a lot of emerging strategies that involve combining cell therapies, including CAR-T, with other medications, and we're continuing to research how to replace harsher treatments with cell therapies and other immunotherapies with fewer toxicities to basically improve results and minimize side effects. So with that, I'll thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to take any questions at the end.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Gribben. That was just an outstanding presentation, stellar. And lots of information, so I know there'll be questions for you during the Q&A. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm just going to say a few words about Cancer Care Services. Cancer Care is a national nonprofit organization, and we provide help to people throughout the United States and in every state and every region of the country. And so what does the help look like? So for those of you in the United States, you can contact our helpline at 1-800-813-4673 and speak with one of our oncology social workers. They answer the phone, and they're assigned to different times to answer the phone, so you don't have a wait time. They basically pick up the phone when you call. And usually when people call our helpline, they have a particular question, and the social worker addresses that question and then goes over with them all the services we provide. So let me go over them. We do offer practical, financial, and co-payment assistance. So those are very important programs. We also have online support groups, and you can access them by going to our website, www.cancercare.org. We have them on every topic and every type of cancer and every for young adults, older adults, middle-aged adults, partners, LGBTQ. We also offer support groups for so many different types of people. It's best to look at our website. You'll be able to see all the different types of online support groups we offer throughout the United States. We also offer publications, which you can download from our website, and again, on many of the topics that we present in the Connect Education workshops, and fact sheets. And there's a lot of informational information, so you can access that information as well. And we also have a pet assistance program at Cancer Care. Many people who have pets are like a part of their family. And if they're undergoing treatment, they may not be able to walk their dog, or they may not be able to change the litter box. They may need help with food insecurity, food for their pet, food for themselves. So we do assist with those things as well. So again, if you go to our website, www.cancercare.org, you'll be able to see all the different services we offer. And now we're going to move right on to the Q&A. I'm going to ask Audra to explain to all of you how to queue up for questions. Audra?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will take questions from the web only. You may submit questions by clicking Ask a Question.
And we have a question from one of our participants, and this will be for Dr. Von Biesen. It has been a year and a half since my CAR T-cell treatment. I remain in remission as of July 2024. PET scans and continuing B-cell aplasia, flow cytometry not detected. When can I expect my immune soldiers to return, and what precautions do you recommend to keep myself free from life-threatening infections, et cetera? Dr. Von Biesen?
Yeah, so this is not uncommon problem after CAR T-cells, since the CAR T-cells that are effective right now are directed against malignant B-cells. They also destroy sometimes for a prolonged period our normal B-cells, and our normal B-cells are ultimately responsible for producing antibodies. So we see low antibody levels in many patients, and that can last for anywhere between 6 months and several years. It's somewhat unpredictable who it happens to and how prolonged and severe it is. We often recommend that to such patients to receive infusions of immunoglobulins on a regular basis. That contributes to preventing infections. So the immune suppression that is associated with low immunoglobulin levels is modest but clinically significant. Such patients tend to have more frequent upper respiratory tract infections, sometimes more frequent severe pulmonary infections. So in general, it's recommended to substitute IVIG, which is relatively easy treatment to do.
Excellent. Thank you so much. For Dr. Gribben, is there a general rate of relapse?
Yes. So it very much varies person to person in terms of the benefit that may be expected from CAR T. And I typically don't like to extrapolate from clinical trials, because the data that we have from trials is the mean or the median of a huge group of people with different characteristics. And when we think about CAR T for a specific person, then we're thinking about an individual. And all of the treatments and kind of factors, both positive and maybe risk factors that that person brings with them to CAR T. So I don't think that a general kind of putting a number on it is actually very helpful, because it just doesn't translate well to individuals. What I will say is that we know that there are different factors that may kind of help us predict, in a sense, who may or may not derive as much benefit from CAR T. And so that includes more lines of treatment beforehand, how well a person is feeling coming into CAR T. But actually, what's most helpful to us and to our patients is doing kind of routine PET scans and surveillance as we go. And although it unfortunately requires quite a bit of waiting, we do know that when we see a response, we're that much closer to getting a long-term response. And so early responses, especially with certain types of these B-cell lymphomas, really do correlate with long-term responses. And that, I think, is the best way to go about kind of predicting how well it's working or not.
Excellent. Thank you. And a question for Dr. Von Biesen. Is CAR T-cell therapy therapy covered by insurance?
It is covered in most countries by insurance, and in the U.S. it's covered by both commercial insurance and Medicare and Medicaid for the appropriate indication, of course. The experimental indications are not covered. And again, as I mentioned before, where we run into trouble sometimes is a patient who has benefited from CAR T cells for several years, but then relapses, because that happens particularly in myeloma and in some of the more indolent lymphomas, where we as physicians or as caregivers believe that another CAR T cell treatment would be indicated or might be beneficial, that's where we end up running into trouble with insurance approvals, where they say the cost of treatment is such that they do not allow us to do this a second time.
Thank you. Thank you. So the question for Dr. Gribben, how long after conditioning chemotherapy does the patient need to wait to start CAR T?
Yeah, that's a great question. For most of the protocols that we have, it's based on what was done in the clinical trials, and so it's 3 days of lymphodepletion back-to-back, 2 days of nothing, and then on the third day after that, the CAR T will be infused. So typically, 3 days after the completion of lymphodepletion is when the CAR T is actually given.
Excellent, thank you. And a question for Dr. Van Biesen, how effective is it in myeloma during initial diagnosis?
We don't use it during initial diagnosis. We use it at first relapse. So the initial treatments with a variety of medications, typically these days a four-drug regimen, can be quite effective, and many patients do well for several years, up to 5, 6, 7 years. Now, when the disease comes back, that's when we use CAR T cells. I would say current CAR T cells, there's two of them on the market, IDA-cell and Cilta-cell, and then there's investigational ones, will result in remissions in these first relapse patients of close to 90% of the patients will get better. Duration of remission is not completely established, but I would say in the range of 60-70% at 1 year. Unfortunately, over time, dwindling. So it seems like in myeloma, most patients sooner or later will relapse after CAR T's again, as opposed to lymphoma where a sizable fraction are cured.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you. And for Dr. Gribben, how long can a patient expect to stay in the hospital after the infusion of CAR T cells?
Yeah, that's a great question. It really depends upon the hospital and the institution and their policies, because some places are now doing everything outpatient or moving that way and spending less and less time in the hospital. I'll say for a typical program these days, usually I would say minimum 7 days after the infusion of CAR T, and more typically about 10 to 14 days. Sometimes longer if there are complications or if there's a lot of inflammation that's taking a long time to kind of quell. I will typically tell my patients about 1 to 2 weeks.
Excellent, thank you. And a question for Dr. Van Biesen, can CNS leukemia lymphoma increase risk of ICANS?
Oh, that's a very complicated question to answer. The short answer to that is no. Most of us think that having CNS leukemia does not increase the risk of neurologic complications. The caveat here is that the numbers of patients that have undergone these types of treatments with CNS leukemia lymphoma remain relatively small. Because such patients were excluded from the initial studies of CAR T cells. So we are now gathering data, getting more experience in treating such patients, and it seems that they benefit, and it seems that on average toxicity is not more.
Excellent, thank you. And for Dr. Gribben, are neurotoxicity seen more commonly in one type of patient than others? For example, are lymphoma patients more likely to develop in comparison to leukemia?
Yeah, that's a good question. We typically think of the risk of neurotoxicity as being related to the certain disease intrinsic factors and then certain patient intrinsic factors. And so the disease intrinsic factors that we think about are a large burden of disease. If there is just a lot of these cancer cells to go after, that will increase the risk. Because we know that when there's more cancer that's being attacked by the CAR T cells, there's going to be more inflammation as a result. And then thinking about what each individual patient brings with him or her into treatment, you know, being slightly older, having a history of neurologic events, having a history of confusion in the hospital, these are all things that can contribute to a slightly increased risk. But nothing is absolute. And so, you know, we've successfully done CAR T cell therapy to a couple of patients with these neurologic risk factors who have done very well. And then on the flip side, you know, sometimes people surprise us with how the neurotoxicity will show up. So we do have different ways of thinking about risk, and we have ways of preventing it with some medications that we start even before the CAR T for some of our patients. Nothing is kind of clear-cut in that sense.
Excellent, thank you. And then a question for Dr. Van Diesen. Is CAR T cell therapy used to treat pediatric patients?
Yes. Just like if the patient has a similar disease, and then the most common indication in pediatrics is acute leukemia.
Thank you. And this question is for Dr. Gribben. For a myeloma patient who received CAR T cell and regressed after a period of time, what other treatment options might there be if not eligible for a second CAR T cell treatment?
So I would say that, again, it depends on the person and kind of the whole state of affairs in terms of where we're at that point when the relapse happens. There are always kind of more aggressive versus less aggressive therapies, some of which are targeted therapies, some of which are more chemo-based, and then some of which are immunotherapy-based but not CAR T. I'll say that two big things that we always think about in this situation are, one, bispecific antibodies. This is another way of engaging T cells against cancer cells, and it uses an antibody, so it brings in endogenous T cells in the body towards the cancer cells, rather than taking the T cells out, engineering them, and then bringing them back into the body. And then the other thing is always in this situation, I think clinical trials are really important to look into, both at your home institution and at other institutions in the area or in places that you would be able to travel to, just to get a sense of kind of what else is available.
Excellent, thank you. And a question for Dr. Beeson, is CAR T used for T cell lymphoma?
That is in very early stages. At this point, there are a couple of trials around the world, and there's some early success, but there's no FDA-approved product. It creates a whole lot of different issues to attack T cells with T cells, with CAR T cells. It becomes technically quite complicated.
Thank you. And then I'm going to ask our speakers to provide a takeaway for our participants from today's program. It would just be a minute or two takeaway that you'd like people to take away from today's program. So I'll start with Dr. Von Diesen.
So again, CAR T cells have rapidly evolved from being highly investigational to mainline therapy, to standard of care therapy for patients with relapsed lymphoma, B-cell lymphoma, for patients with relapsed myeloma, and for patients with B-cell acute leukemia. The treatment is, the technology behind it is highly adaptable, so there's an enormous interest in making these cells, further optimizing these cells, looking for new indications, and making them safer and more affordable. Right now, it really has, CAR T cells have provided treatment options and resulted in cures for many, many patients who otherwise would not have been cured. And I'm convinced that the next 10 or 20 years will continue to see further improvements and wider application of these cells.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And Dr. Gribben.
Yeah, so I'll say that, you know, CAR T-cell therapy is increasingly becoming standard of care. It already has been standard of care for several years at this point. It's being used sooner and sooner in the whole treatment landscape for several different types of cancers. And I think it's just important to know that many different people are really great candidates for CAR T-cell therapy. And so if there's ever a question of whether it may be right for you or for a family member or someone you know, we always recommend seeing a CAR T specialist for an evaluation because, you know, it's very different than going for some intensive form of therapy like a bone marrow transplant. It's different, and you really need to have somebody who does this every day kind of lay eyes on someone who may be a candidate. And so at least exploring that option rather than taking it off the table prematurely is something that we've been really emphasizing where I work. And I think that it's important to just kind of spread that around and know that, you know, many different types of people will get benefit from this, and it's always a good idea to at least ask about it if it's ever a question.
And thank you. And we have a late-breaking question I'm going to ask both Dr. Beeson and Dr. Gribben to address it. What are the criteria for selecting patients with acute lymphocytic leukemia?
Again, in ALL, acute lymphocytic leukemia, CAR T cells are mostly used in patients who have relapsed disease, and usually again at first relapse, or those patients who fail to achieve a remission, who are primarily refractory. And that's actually, fortunately, a relatively small percentage of the patients, because particularly in children and adults, most of the ALL patients get cured with their initial treatment. So the relapsed patients are a small fraction of them, but in that fraction, CAR T cells are pretty much standard of care. If patients can receive them, then there's the older, frail population. There's one thing we didn't discuss much about, the logistical problems of CAR T cells, right? The weeks of admission, the prolonged recovery, the need to go to an academic medical center. So for the old and the very old, it can be difficult to organize this.
So could you comment, both of you, on the need to go to a specialty comprehensive center for the CAR T cell, or you know, an academic center that really does this a lot?
You want to answer that, Caitlin?
Yeah, so it's at this point, you know, things may change in the future, but at this point, because the whole manufacturing process, selection process, and treatment process for CAR T is so specialized, it is done at specific kind of designated, mostly academic medical centers. It can, you know, in certain areas of the country and around the world, it can require traveling and kind of spending more time away from home to get to these sites. In other places, they're a little bit more densely concentrated. So it is important to keep that in mind. Oftentimes, though, we are able to partner with people who treat patients in the community or closer to home so that a large bulk of the treatment will be done at the academic medical center, but then a lot of the follow-up and kind of intervening visits can be done closer to home. So that's an option to explore. And then another thing is that many other centers that maybe historically were not on the forefront of kind of setting up their own CAR T programs are now becoming involved. And we're seeing a lot of kind of medium-sized centers in the application process to become CAR T centers. So I think it will become a little bit more available as time goes on in different places.
And this will be the last late-breaking question. Is there a recovery period after CAR T cell therapy? If so, for how long?
Yeah, it really depends on the person. I would say that the vast majority of people will feel fatigued and kind of generally not 100% themselves, at least for the first 30 days after CAR T, and that's kind of just a rough ballpark. And then time to recovery after that will depend. Some people will kind of get back to where they were more quickly than expected, and other people will take a little bit longer. And then some of the more objective measures that we talked about, like the low blood counts and immunosuppression, those will play out. Oftentimes those do correlate with how people feel, but sometimes they don't. So the question about when to go back to work, when to kind of resume activities is a little bit tricky because we kind of have to see how things go and take it one week at a time. But typically, I would say that most patients are feeling relatively well after several months post-CAR T, if not before then.
Excellent. So I want to thank our speakers. You've really been phenomenal. Really, this has been an amazing program. And although we've done this program before, I would say today was really outstanding. And the participants asked really such great questions. And our speakers, of course, know each other so well and work so well together. It was just a very wonderful call. And I do want to comment a bit about the call itself. For those of you who had a chance to ask a question, terrific, but take your question back to your treating healthcare team. Remember, you've learned a lot today, and you can take what you've learned back to your treating healthcare team. Remember, they know you the best. They have your medical records in front of them. And so ask your question again of your healthcare team. Also, for those of you who are in queue and didn't get to ask your question, again, please go back to your treating healthcare team and ask them your question as well. And keep asking your question until you feel that you have an answer to it. Again, you've all learned a great deal from today's program. Also, I do want to remind all of you that for many people, reaching your healthcare team during the day is not a challenge. But evenings, weekends, and holidays seem to be a big challenge. And so please always check in with your healthcare team ahead of time, like during the week. What numbers can you reach the healthcare team on evenings, weekends, and holidays? That's really important. Again, I want to thank you all for your participation today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop, and you may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.